Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
There's a lot of stories we could tell about gratitude from neighbors. A lot of people heard people say, thank you so much for putting this on. But I will say, on Saturday morning, I was in the building finishing filling the baptism tank. And there was a man who was in our building as a rental, renting our space for something. And he said, hey, I was here last night with my son. It was amazing. Would I be allowed to come to your church sometime? Yes? We had a lot of people to say, I can't believe you're doing this. Thank you so much. We needed a space like this tonight. Or I've lived in the neighborhood and we come every single year. And it's beautiful. I love the opportunity and I'm proud of you that we get to do it together. So let me pray and we'll jump into scripture. Jesus, thank you for this privilege to catch sight of your work in Will's life today, and for us to come and lift up our voices in prayer, to be led in prayer, to come together. Thank you that we're not alone. We're not cut off. We are invited into a body to learn to be a family. Thank you for the people who taught Will Sunday school. Thank you for the leaders he had through the years. Thank you for the friends, the people that in the last few years invited him in and showed him kindness and showed him something of your heart and the ways that you used all that to awaken him to faith. And we ask that you give us faith for the ways that we get to be an open hand, a welcome to another, that this is more than a handshake sometimes. Sometimes your breath is upon it, God. Your grace is in it for them, for us. Thank you for your word and the chance to turn and listen for your voice today. We ask that you would teach us yet again from your word, Jesus. We want to know and follow you. Amen. If you are new here, my name is Scott Anderson, and I'm one of the pastors, and today I'm privileged to teach. 20 years ago, I was early on in my pastoring my first church, a little church plant in Cloverdale, southeast Surrey, I guess, on the mainland. And in the early years of that, I made a habit of spending part of every Monday at a soup kitchen down in the downtown core of Cloverdale, run by another church in town that really had earned the trust of the street community in a way that was really beautiful. And I would spend part of every Monday down at this soup kitchen, hanging out with those in our community who lived on little, most of them on welfare, many in the grip of addiction, many battling some sort of mental illness, health challenge, or both, or multiple, all on top of one another, many of them unhoused. And as happens, I had many days where I wondered why I was there at a deeper level, right? And yet as I look back over that year and a half of being there, I've often thought, in some sense, it was one of the most significant spiritual disciplines of that season of my life. And by that I mean one of the most significant means of God's work in me. That's the heart of a spiritual discipline. It's something that the Spirit calls us to, that becomes a habit, and then God pours his life into that habit or makes it the means of his work in us. For me, it's being there, serving there, getting to know these men and women who lived on the streets of my community, who spent their nights in the bushes or in the drain pipes or under the bridge, and spent their days trying to make it through another day. For some of them at times, trying to make it through another day. Hunting for a high maybe to escape the pain of the day or the past or what the future seemed like. And over time, they became friends. Not just people I saw that I drove past. People who knew my name and I knew theirs. People who cared for me and I cared for them. People who sought to support me. Hey, how are things going with you, newborn? They would say to me. And I'd ask them the same. People that would pray at times for me, and I would pray for them, and my heart would break for them often. As I said, I often wondered why I was there, but now and then there were those days when I knew without a doubt that God had led me there for my own sake, as much as for anybody. Among other things, I know that God had me at that soup kitchen to teach me about the gospel, about what the gospel really is, and if it matters, if it is really needed. Just being there, talking with Bucky and Kristen and others, forced me, as I walked home, drove home, skateboarded home, however I got home, I did, yes, skateboard home sometimes. I was young, my bones were more flexible then. As I would go home and think about them, it caused me to think hard, to ask questions, to pray, and ask questions again about God and about the gospel and my being a part of it. And during my last summer volunteering, I had one of those moments where a piece of the puzzle like finds its place and something like you see more clearly. I was sitting with a woman that I'll call Kristen. She was in her mid-20s, I think, though life on the streets had worn her a lot. And she had a baby that she could no longer have because of her addictions and the chaos of her present life. And I sat with her often. But I remember this one day sitting with her, listening to the story of the last week and looking her in the eyes and seeing a daughter and now a mom whose heart was broken, seeing the reality of some of her story. And I felt so deeply struck with the beauty and the goodness and the grace of the gospel and the need of our world for the gospel in all of its goodness and grace. For God to be at work in our world, in our lives, restoring us to himself and life with him. For God to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, which is what Jesus teaches us to pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, you can say it with me, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll stop there. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Honestly, the more my eyes were and are opened to the reality of our world around us and in us, the more I feel how this prayer is so necessary. This is what Kristen needed. And in that moment, as we sat together and talked, she knew it so deeply, more than I did. She needed to experience the gospel. And by that, I mean she needed Jesus to rescue her. She needed rescue from her sin and the sin of others. She needed to be rescued from herself and the things that over time had become habits and ways of living that were ruining her and others and now caused her to not be a safe person for her own child. And she needed to be rescued from others, from systems that make it almost impossible to get up once you're down. She needed to be rescued. She needed to be restored. She needed to experience God's embrace and forgiveness and to be enabled by God to forgive others, to be restored to God and life, the life that God gives. She needed a new master. I remember us talking about this. She needed a new master. She needed someone else to be in charge of her heart and her mind and her will and her ways. Because on her own, she was destroying herself and she could feel it. She needed someone better, someone wiser than herself. Someone who truly loved her and cared for her and wanted what was best for her and knew what was best for her. To guide her life, she needed Jesus to be in charge. And she needed God's Spirit, the empowerment of God, to desire and walk in God's ways. And as I looked at her that day, sitting in that back room at this church, soup kitchen, talking with her, grieving with her, and this kind of like puzzle piece, your eyes opening, I saw myself. And I felt, again, the reality of my utter, complete, total need for the gospel. Today and every day. I could see my own story and this reality that outside of God's gracious rescuing and redeeming, restoring, guiding, and empowering me, I am so, so prone to wander. And wander feels like such a pale word for how my heart, apart from grace, runs toward things that ruin me and ruin others. If anything, God uses moments like this, maybe he has for you or is or will. For me, moments like hanging out in the soup kitchen over a season to open my eyes to the incredible goodness of the gospel, that it actually is good news. It's not just news. It's not just interesting. It is good news and awaken me to the desperate need of the world, every one of us, for the gospel, for God to be at work in the world and us restoring all things in us to himself in and through Jesus. For God to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, not just keep us around until one day he takes us away. In you and in me. And thankfully, in the grace of God, this is what this story is all about. This is not the story of a God who sets things in motion and then we mess with it and he goes off to do other things. This, the story of Scripture from start to finish, is the story of a God who loved the world, loves the world, all that he has made, so much that he enters into the story actively in so many ways, in seen and unseen ways. And above all, this is exactly why the Father sends the Son, why Jesus has come. Here again, the good news of Mark 1:14-15, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the gospel. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the gospel, and this is what he said. This is the gospel according to Jesus. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The time has come. The appointed time, the time that God chose before the creation of the world to fulfill his purposes in the world. This time has come, Jesus is announcing. For what purpose? To bring God's kingdom near, and not just near, but here. Or in the language of the Lord's, amen, thank you. In the language of the Lord's Prayer, to make God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. In Cloverdale, in that community of women and men living on the streets that I got to share some life with, and here in us and on our streets and in our schools and in our neighborhoods and in our families and in our world. Not just to whisk us away to heaven when we die, but to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to make us alive with God now and into eternity. To rescue and restore us, to experience life in God's kingdom, life as God intended it, life with God as King over all. Will, I see you, Will. In that tank, first question Kenzie asked you, do you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? And you said, yeah, but like really deep. Yes. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's King. He's King. Jesus is the invasion of the kingdom of God. He's coming to bring God's rule and God's reign. That's what he's doing everywhere he goes in the Gospels. He's not just showing compassion. He is showing what happens when God is king over a body, over a family, over a neighborhood, over a community. Those who have been pushed away, excluded, get brought into community. Those who are beat down by sin are forgiven and restored. Those who are broken, cast off, bound up, in bondage. Jesus gives life. That's his kingdom. He comes and brings life. Life with God as king over all of creation, over all the nations, over all rulers, over all in the church, over all of us, over all in us, now in this life and on into eternity. This is the gospel. This is the good news of what God has done in Jesus and is doing in and through Jesus by his Spirit. This is the gospel that Jesus came announcing and revealing and enacting and setting in motion. It's exactly what our world needs. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We talked about that last Sunday with the lights off. And if you weren't here, we recorded the message again on Wednesday morning with the lights on. And it's there on the website and on YouTube. But we prayed, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," which Eugene Peterson in the Message simply translates as, "Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. You are holy, and we don't see it. Reveal who you are. Open our eyes to the goodness and the glory of who you are." And then in the next breath, he says, "And may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Why? Why does Jesus teach us to pray for this? Why, if according to Jesus, the gospel is the good news that the kingdom of God is now being revealed and established on earth through Jesus, right? Jesus says that his definition of the gospel, the time has come, not will, time has come, the appointed time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Why then does Jesus teach us to pray, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven"? Well, we know. We all know. We feel it because God's kingdom has not yet come in its fullness. It's begun. So many of you are a testament to the ways that it has begun to be revealed and evident, ways that God is awakening and restoring and renewing and empowering, forgiving, ways that God is using others in that, in our lives and in our world. And yet in the midst of that, God's kingdom has not yet come in its fullness, right? Undeniably, far from it. God's rule is not yet honored, embraced, experienced by all. And we hear it in Mark chapter 1. In the announcement Jesus makes, specifically the words that precede Jesus' announcement of the gospel, it says, Mark 1:14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the gospel, and John stayed in prison as people were set free and made whole, forgiven, and redeemed. Right there is this window on the already and the not yet of the gospel in this time. This is the time we live in. The already and the not yet. The gospel of God's reign has and is invading the earth, and we see it in bits and pieces and sometimes in great glory. But often we also see the presence of fallen kingdoms. Yes? That is the news. Right? Every newscast should be called 80% presence of fallen kingdoms evidence. 90%. Some newscasts even more. Right? That is so much of what we get when we get on social media. That is so much of what we see when we drive in our own city. That is so much of what we experience when we live in our own homes or inside of our own hearts. The kingdom of God has and is invading the earth. But the presence of fallen kingdoms remain, and we feel it. Things are not yet all as they should be. Wars still ravage the world. Famine, depression, despair, abuse, neglect, injustice, addiction, deception, assault, perversion, corruption, oppression, adultery, greed, unforgiveness, hatred, violence, idolatry, and that's a short list that could be said much longer. Sin and selfishness in all its forms still pervade life as we know it on a large scale, nations, and in the little things of our own habits. The kingdom of God is at hand. God is at work, which is why I love every time we have a baptism. It's just another, it's not the only thing, but it's another just reminder that God is still awakening people to himself, rescuing and drawing men and women into his story. And we need these reminders because sometimes all we see is the brokenness. Yes? Sometimes all we feel is what is not. And yet as the life of the church, we get to feel both. We're invited to recognize and be honest about both. The kingdom of God is at hand. God is at work in the world, in our world, in us through Christ, but his kingdom has not yet come in its fullness. Other kingdoms remain. Other kings still exert influence in the world, some with great influence over nations and states and ideas and media and industry, and others like you and me with influence over smaller spheres, but real, no less real influence. And the knowledge of this Jesus, who has come to bring God's kingdom, invites us to join him. To join him in seeking his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through prayer. In the knowledge of the ongoing brokenness of our world, Jesus invites us, those who follow him, to bow before him as king, to be restored in grace to the Father through him, and then to join him, to learn to join him in seeking his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through prayer, which I'm sure all of us at times feels absurd, not real, or just played out ridiculous. You know, we can go on the news and watch people or councils, the UN, whatever, make decisions that might influence something, I guess, if we're honest. Those structures are pretty complicated themselves. But it's easy for us to think we have no influence. All we can do is bemoan the brokenness of the world, sing our songs, sit down, hope that the week goes well, and wait till one day, right? That's how often it feels. And yet Jesus has this absurd idea that you and I can participate through prayer in the invasion of God's kingdom, the good, glorious, beautiful coming of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And I so often doubt it. You probably do too. Which is why we often don't run to the prayer meetings, right? And I don't throw that guilt on you. Life is busy and there's things. Some of you have commitments. We all have commitments, most of us. Two of you don't have any commitments, but the rest of us do. But let's be honest, sometimes we don't get there because we actually just don't think it does anything, and yet Jesus does. Jesus does. Let's just sit with that for a minute. Jesus, can we agree? You know I've said this many times. Can we agree Jesus knows what he's talking about? Jesus understands reality better than you. Better than me. Jesus understands reality. He understands prayer at a level we cannot comprehend. And the one who understands how the heavens and the earth work, he, according to Jesus, God has ordained prayer to be one of the means. We might even say one of the primary means, but definitely one of the means by which we seek. We are invited to seek to participate in the seeking of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, which is a gift. That because of the gospel, we don't have to. We are not left to simply just stand back and bemoan and complain and throw up our hands in despair and lose heart as though there's nothing that we can do. No, we can pray. In fact, not only can we pray, but as followers of Jesus, it is our responsibility and our privilege to pray. And so Jesus invites us not just to believe in the power of prayer, but to believe in the power of evil. To be honest about the brokenness, but not just the brokenness. Jesus invites us to be honest about our world and all of its chaos, and to wake up to the reality that in and through prayer, according to Jesus, keep that in your heart, okay? When you go home today and you think, oh, Scott talked about that, I hope what you'll hear is, according to Jesus, in and through prayer, we can participate in the displacing and overthrowing of fallen kingdoms and the inbreaking of the glorious kingdom of God. And so Jesus invites us to live with our eyes open to the brokenness of the world, with our eyes alert to the places and people and situations where God is needed to learn their names, where God's right to rule needs to be embraced and submitted to and experienced, and then to pray, to bring those names, those people, those places, those situations to the one who reigns in the heavens, to seek him to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to displace the fallen kingdoms of the world, to throw off the oppressive rulers, and to establish his good kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to come and rule and bring mercy and bring justice to all. To all. Not just to a select chosen few, not just to the church, not just to one nation, but to all. As Jesus says, for your kingdom, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, not just in Victoria or just among these people or all. On earth, it's a whole word, right? On earth as it is in heaven. As a wise Christian once said, Jesus doesn't teach us to pray, may your kingdom come among us disciples as it is in heaven. Or even may your kingdom come in Israel, though we should pray for that. But may Jesus' vision of the kingdom is a reality come to the whole planet, for all nations, for all peoples, for all families, and for every part of us. As Jesus says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And so he invites us, he teaches and invites us to pray for and see God's kingdom for not just ourselves, not just ourselves. I don't mean not yourself. We'll get into that in the second half of this prayer very explicitly. But not just ourselves, but for all. This then is how you, as my followers, Jesus says, should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some of us pray. Our prayers are too small. God invites us to pray about the little things. Heck yeah. And the Lord's Prayer takes us into that. But he also invites us to see that somehow in the mystery of grace, our prayers can be a part of revolution that really matters and is needed. If you've never realized it, to pray this prayer is to pray for the gospel to be realized on earth as it is in heaven, for the spread of the gospel, Jesus' reign, for the flourishing of the gospel, the reign of King Jesus on earth as it is in heaven, over all and for all. So instead of me talking any longer, well, I will talk a little bit, but I'm going to lead us into some time of prayer, which is why I brought a flip chart. I love a flip chart. Oh, it's so fun. Some churches have really cool things where you like text stuff in and it pops up there. This gets me excited. Sharpies, even better. Okay, sorry, I'll apologize. Okay, so here's the question. We're gonna pray in two parts here. We're gonna pray together. We're gonna start with praying for the world. Do you wanna throw the next slide up there, Ross? Thank you. I want us to invite us to name some places and situations around the world where things are not as they should be. And this will come easily to your mind. You might have something that you're going to keep inside, but I'm sure just help us remember. Places, situations where you know right now the kingdom of God is needed, the reign of Jesus, his justice, his mercy, his right sizing, his overturning. I'll start over here. Give me a situation, a place. Pardon me?
England.
Oh, thank you. Okay. If anyone says the World Series, please don't. Just kidding. Just kidding. Ukraine.
Victoria.
I hear Israel. I hear Victoria. Is that right? Or did someone say Brazil? Israel. Okay. We could pray for Brazil too, but I don't know what we'd be praying for. Okay, I'm going to go this way. Oh.
We have a Haiti over here.
Whoa. The back?
We have a Haiti.
Haiti. Oh. Jamaica. Thank you, Tim. Now listen, as we say this, some of us are going, well, I don't know what's going on in Haiti. I don't know what's going on in Jamaica. I don't know what's going on here. That's okay. You know what's going on somewhere else. Let's be a body. Let's carry the grief of others and the ache of others. Over here.
Sudan.
Thank you.
Our schools.
Is there a particular school you think? Just kidding. U.S. America. Thank you, Beverly. Big. Anyone else here?
Yemen.
Oh, good thing I got my basic spelling working for me. Over there?
Our government.
Yeah. Nigeria. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Zimbabwe.
So truth is, we could list like any and every country in the world, right? And yet these are ones that, okay, I might have spelled that wrong. But don't critique me, please. That's okay, you can. You can help me out later. Anyone else you want to name? Yeah. Amen. Okay. So let's just take a moment. Friends, I am tempted right now to go, what good does this do? Maybe you are as well. But according to Jesus, we are invited to be participants in the coming of God's kingdom on earth. And we're just going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to lead us. I'm going to say, Father, we bring before you the people of or the situation of, and I'm going to name one of those. And we're just going to sit. And if you want to open your hands as a posture of your heart to God, maybe you're going to have a load of prayers that just rush out, or maybe you're just in your heart just before God. We just hold these people before you. And then I'll say, together we pray, and we'll say together, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then I'll guide us in the next, okay? Yes? Yes, Janet? Inside our hearts. Yeah, thank you. That would take a lot longer. But Jesus hears it all. Oh, we'll say those words. Your kingdom come on earth as I have. When I say together we pray. Is that good? Cool, thanks. All right. Jesus, thank you for inviting us into the presence of the Father. That the gospel means that we have become people who are ushered into the throne room of the King in Jesus by the Spirit. And so we come, Father, we bring before you the people of Sudan. Maybe your heart is just saying, your kingdom come, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. Together we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we bring before you the people of Ukraine. Lord, would you cast down oppressive powers and rulers? Together we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we bring before you the people of Haiti. Together we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we lift to you the people of Yemen. Thank you for hearing the cries of the broken. Together we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we bring before you the nation of the United States of America. Together we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's give you a moment here to cast your eyes up onto this page here, or maybe there's a nation or a place or a situation you just want to hold before the Father right now. And then we're going to pivot to closer to home. Father, we bring to you the people, the place that's on our heart right now. Together we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and as they do, I want to lead us into one more part. In that similar season in my life that I volunteered down at that soup kitchen, I remember writing a simple song prayer that I taught to a few friends in a prayer circle, but that was about it. It wasn't anything worth passing on to the world. But it was in the context of praying like this that I found myself finishing the sentence, "Bring your kingdom in me." If I remembered how to play it, I'll try this afternoon. But the song lyrics we sung, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth in me." Because it's no use praying for the world and ignoring the influence I have and the agency I have and my need. And there is a need for us as followers of Jesus to regularly not just seek him for others, but bow before him for our own lives. Which is why most days when I start my day in prayer, I say, "Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, I bow before you. I need you." And so I want us to just take a moment. I think the next slide is our last slide. But let's just take a moment in stillness before we sing our closing song. And where do you see a need? Where do you feel a need for the gospel, the reign of Jesus in you? Where do you know you need to embrace or submit to Jesus as Lord in you? There could be many things. But I wonder if there's one thing right now that Jesus is just saying to you. And let's just have some stillness here. Lord, teach us to pray. Use this prayer in these days to open our hearts to long with you for your kingdom to come in every place and everything and everything and over everything and in all of us. Make us hungry and fill us with hope, God, that this is what you do. This is what you're seeking. This is what you are doing. And you are not done. You will not be done till you're done, till everything, every fiber of creation, every corner of this earth, you are Lord over. Some through, well, all through you, through your grace and your work. So come, Jesus, teach us to pray. Come, grow our, open our eyes, put the puzzle piece in where we see both our need for you and the beautiful offering of your kingdom for us. And the reality that your grace is enough for us in the already and the not yet. Lord, we don't have to lose heart. You are at work and you're inviting us to be a part of it. Can we stand together? As we sing, if anyone would like to receive prayer, I'm going to invite some of our prayer people. We've got two stations in each corner. If you want to come and just park yourself in one of those chairs, someone will gladly pray for you. But you can always ask the person beside you too. We're all Jesus people. So let's come and seek him together.